Well, thanks for joining us today on Tri-State Gospel Radio, and thanks for joining us for a good word for today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond, and we're going to be looking this morning at God's commandment for us and God's good word for us today. Turn with me, if you will, to the last chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. That's where we'll begin our message today and really draw our text today from these verses here in Matthew chapter 28. So turn there with me and be ready for our study of God's Word today. First of all, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for your love, for your care, for your keeping. Thank you for your blessings for us, all of us as your children. Thank you, Jesus, that you hold us in the palm of your hand and you tell us nothing can take us out of your hand. And Jesus, you said also that the Father holds us in our hand, in his hand, and nothing can take us from his hand. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Thank you for the assurance of our salvation, the seal of your Holy Spirit upon our lives, the witness of the Holy Spirit within us that we're truly your child, Father. Thank you for your provision, for your protection, for your wonderful mercy, grace, and love that you give to all of us as your children. Thank you for the home that awaits us. Perhaps it's finished and prepared for us. And at any time, Jesus could come and catch away the church, catch away his bride, take all the saved out of this earth. And then, of course, the tribulation period follows. Father, thank you that you watch over us and protect us from the devil and the demons of hell. Thank you for all your many blessings. Now, as we open your word today, we pray for the leading and guiding of your precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you gave us this word. Today, explain the word to us. As I proclaim the words that you give to me, may every word I say and every word I speak be yours, Holy Spirit, that you speak in me and through me. For the glory of God, for the proclaiming of the good news of the gospel, for the lifting of the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, dear one, thank you so much for joining us this day. And as you turn to Matthew chapter 28, we draw our message, our theme for this particular message, and quite probably some messages to follow. As we begin this new year, we are beginning a new series of messages, and the messages will center upon verses 18 through 20 of Matthew chapter 28. In this chapter, this last chapter of Matthew, Jesus has gone to the cross. He's laid down his life there at the cross. He's shed his blood. He's taken upon himself the sin of all of mankind, and he has paid for it. He has finished the task that he came to the earth to do, and that is to go to the cross and become that sacrifice, that supreme sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world to pay for our sin. Only Jesus Christ could take upon himself the sin of all mankind and pay for it all on the cross of Calvary, and that is what he did. So at this point in Matthew chapter 28, that's history. He's done that. He's paid for our sin. His body has been placed in that tomb. On the third day, by the power of God, he has risen from the dead. And this is one of those appearances that he makes to his disciples and to mankind after his resurrection. For some 40 days, Jesus appeared at various times and places and to various individuals to show them that he was resurrected. As he did to Thomas, doubting Thomas, he said, "Thomas, here I am. Take hold of me. Feel the nail prints in my hand and feel this spear wound in my side. Put your hand there. Touch it. Feel it. Put your hand in the palm of my hand and feel my wounds there. Feel those nail prints that are left in my hand. Look at me. Handle me. And see, Thomas, satisfy yourself that I am the resurrected Christ." And as John said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, "Of this Jesus whom we walked with and talked with and ate with and lived with and whom we handled," he said. In other words, we touched him, we felt him, we used more than just one of our senses to know that this is the Christ. We heard him, we saw him, we talked with him, we handled him, we felt him. We know that this is the Christ. So Jesus appeared after his resurrection over a period of 40 days to demonstrate to his followers that he indeed was risen. And here in Matthew chapter 28, we have Jesus making his final comments to his disciples, to his followers. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, Jesus gave us the commandment here to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we look at this commandment of Jesus, these words of Jesus, and we sometimes do not interpret them, I think, correctly. We put the emphasis on the go in verse 19. Go, therefore. But the purpose, he states very clearly, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. Make disciples. Now, we interpret that as go and gain converts. Go and get people saved. Now, that's the first part. But it's only the first part. You see, the commandment to us is to make disciples. Now, the Holy Spirit must come and convict the heart of the individual before that individual is ever going to see and understand their lost condition, their sinful state in which they're born. And only then, when they're convicted of that sin by the Holy Spirit, will they see it with spiritual eyes. And then they'll be able to say, "I don't want to be there. I don't want to stay in my sin. I realize I'm lost. I realize I'm headed for eternal hell unless I make a change here. So I renounce my sin. I want to get rid of my sin. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness and to come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord." Now, that's the salvation process. When a person does that, number one, convicted by the Holy Spirit, and in all probability, in most cases at least, the person must hear the gospel presented, must hear someone share the gospel before the Holy Spirit can act upon their heart to convict them of their need of Jesus, of their need of a Savior. So the Holy Spirit's job is to convict of sin. That's the first job of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit will come to convict the world of sin. That's the first thing that he mentioned. Now, the Holy Spirit has other jobs. He teaches, he guides, he comforts. But the first job of the Holy Spirit is to come to the heart of the individual who is lost and to convict that heart, supernaturally convict that heart of the need of Jesus, of the need of salvation. Now, I really believe that no one will ever accept Jesus unless they're first convicted of their sin by the Holy Spirit. You see, they can't see things from a spiritual point of view until the Spirit comes and gives them really the power spiritually to see their lost condition, to see their need of a Savior and see their need of salvation. So the ordinary person is going to go right on through life, blinded by the devil, blinded as to their need of salvation, and they'll be saying to anyone witnessing to them, "Oh, what do you mean salvation? What do you mean I'm lost? I'm not lost. I know where I am." They don't understand what we're saying spiritually, because it must be spiritually understood. And they cannot spiritually understand that until the Holy Spirit comes to convict their heart of sin. So the best prayer you can pray for the lost is that the Holy Spirit will go and convict their heart of their need of a Savior. We can't explain that to them. We can share the gospel, and that's what we're to do. We're to share the gospel. We're to sow the seed. But then it's up to the Holy Spirit to really implant that seed in the heart of the individual and convict that individual of their need of a Savior. So we're told here in Matthew chapter 28 to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, salvation is the first step in the process of making disciples. Disciples are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Disciples are to grow and mature in Christ Jesus. We are not to remain babes in Christ. We are to grow and mature. Now, in order to grow and mature, we must study the Word. We must be taught the Word. We must be made disciples by someone else. So we who are children of God, we need to be serious about the task of making others disciples. Now, that involves our teaching them and showing them the way, showing them what they need to do to grow as a child of God, to teach them what being a child of God is all about, to teach them how to live a life as a Christian, as a child of God, surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's a very large part of our teaching responsibility to make disciples of all men, we're told. Now, this then is our marching order, so to speak. To go into the world, to go in our world, to go to those people that we are around, to those people that we meet, and to witness to them of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. But that isn't where we stop. We are to make disciples of all men. Now, in Acts chapter 1, we are given the words of Jesus at the time that he is ascending to the Father, just before he ascends to the Father, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we have the words of Jesus himself, "But you," he said, addressing his followers, "you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So this is the very last word that Jesus spoke. He said, "You are to be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then Judea, the surrounding countryside, then Samaria, that city to the north, and finally to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, to us today, if Jesus were standing before us and speaking this same thing to us, he would say to you, all right, you are to be my witnesses right here in your family, right here among your relatives, right here among your friends, right here in your inner circle of relation, of family and friends. That's first, right here in your home, right where you are in your home, wherever that is. It may be in Warsaw, it may be in Georgetown, it may be in Covington, it may be in Frankfurt, it may be in Lexington, wherever you are, wherever you call home, that is where you begin with your family, your relatives, your friends, and your close neighbors around you, your home area. That's where you begin first in witnessing of Jesus Christ, witnessing of the gospel. And then he said, make your circle larger. Get out in your community. Go over to the next street. Make your circle bigger. Witness to your neighbors. Branch out. And finally, when you've got your community covered, go over to the next community and start there proclaiming the good news of the gospel. That's Judea. As you see, Jerusalem is home. Judea is the surrounding communities. And then Samaria is the next city over there, making our circle bigger and finally making it to the whole world, ever making our circle bigger, 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 and bigger, and finally from home to the world. That's the commandment of Jesus to every child of God, to everyone who becomes a child of God the Father, to every Christian, to every disciple, to every follower. Jesus said, be my witnesses. Now, what are we to witness? Well, we're to witness the gospel. We're to witness of him. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. We're to witness the gospel. That's really the only thing we're commanded to witness. And then we are to make disciples. After the person has become a child of God, after they're born into the family of God, then we are to make disciples of those individuals. You see, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Make disciples of them. Make disciples of them. Now, we don't focus much on that. We need to. We focus more on getting them saved. But, you know, sometimes as Christian witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're a little bit like a parent who makes every effort to get the child born. And then when the child is born, we just say, all right, you're born, you're in the world, you take over, you're on your own. Here, take this food right here and eat of it as much as you can. Eat of it every day. But then we just go away and we leave that newborn child of God to flounder and to be consumed basically by the world. Now, we do that. We're guilty of doing that. We get the child born. We're there to be a nursemaid. We're there to be a midwife, so to speak, while the child is being born. And then when the child is born, we just go off rejoicing that a new person is added to the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, make disciples. Make disciples. Now, making disciples is taking care of that child. Making disciples is feeding that child. Now, Paul spoke of being on the milk of the word and then the meat of the word, he said. And we're to grow. The purpose of us is to grow, to eat the meat of the word, to grow and to mature as children of God. We're not to remain babes in Christ. And that's where we come in to make disciples. We teach, we nurture, we nourish, we help, we help them grow. We watch over them. We protect them. We correct them. We discipline them. We help them grow as a child of God. Now, that responsibility is upon us all, my friend, not just a select few, not just some preachers or teachers of God's Word. That responsibility is on all of us to proclaim the good news of the gospel and to make disciples of all men. So our responsibility extends beyond just proclaiming the word, just being a witness of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where we start. But we are to make disciples of those that are newly born into the kingdom of God. We're to help them grow from being babes in Christ to being young adults, to being strong, mature Christians. And we make disciples. We teach them. We nurture them. We nourish them. We see that they know the Word of God. We teach them the Word of God. We instruct them. We discipline them as a father or parent would a child, you see. We help that person grow. We take the responsibility of being a parent to that child, so to speak, and helping them to grow, nurturing them, feeding them on God's Word, seeing that they eat the proper things, God's Word, seeing that they have the spiritual food they need to grow into spiritually mature adults. So we are to go and make disciples. Where do we go? Well, the emphasis again on the going is generally let's be missionaries and let's go abroad somewhere to witness the word. Well, my friend, we have a great mission field all around us. And the first commandment of Jesus is to take care of that local field first. Before you ever think about going abroad, before you ever think about reaching the world, we need to think about reaching the ones closest to us, the ones in our own family, the ones that are our friends and neighbors right around us. And that really probably should occupy the majority of the time and the effort of every Christian, every child of God, to fulfill that responsibility of witnessing to family, to friends, to neighbors. And then we reach out and make the circle bigger. We get out to our Judea. We get out to our Samaria, the city next door. And finally, we reach out to the whole world. Now, we don't need to be reaching out to the whole world until we have fulfilled the first responsibility. And that is to our home and to our home circle, our family, our relatives, our friends, our close neighbors that we know, our co-workers that we know. This is our first responsibility. And we may spend a lifetime on that responsibility. And if it's needed, then we need to spend that lifetime on the first responsibility rather than reaching out to the world before we've reached our own family and our close friends, and our close neighbors. You see, that's the first responsibility that we have. Many people are concerned about witnessing, going out and witnessing to the lost, when there's lost in their own family that they need to be witnessing to. That's the first commandment of Jesus Christ. I believe, actually, it is sinful for us to go out to the world before we have done the job at home of witnessing to our family and to our friends. Before you go over to the next city to witness, you need to ask yourself, have I witnessed to all my family members? Have I witnessed to all my close friends and close neighbors? Is there anyone that I haven't witnessed to? Anyone that I haven't shared the gospel, the good news of the gospel with? If we can say, well, I've done all of that, then we can go to the next step and go over to the next street and the next community and the next city. And then when we've got that done, we can make our circle bigger, you see. There's each step. It's kind of like running the bases of in a baseball game. You know, if a person comes to the plate and hits the ball out of the park and they hit a home run, they've got to make the bases. They've got to go to base one and touch it before they can go to base two. And then they've got to touch base two. And then they can go to base three and touch base three and finally come on home and touch home plate. They've got to touch every one. If they fail to touch a base, then they're out, you see. It's not a home run any longer. It's an out because they failed to touch those bases. Well, these bases that Jesus gives us are a bit like that. First base is our home plate. First base is our home and our friends and family and inner circle. And then second base is our neighbors in the next street over and the surrounding streets. That's second base. And then third base is the next city over there that we need to go and witness to. But we need to touch base one and base two before we go to base three, you see. And then when we touch base three, we can go home. And having touched all of those bases and covered all of those bases, then we have a home run, you see. And witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ is that. We must touch that first base. We must complete that. We must touch base two. We must complete that. We must touch base three. We must complete that. And then we can touch base four, our home. Now, if you'll think of God's commandment, Jesus' commandment, of be my witnesses first to Judea, first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria, and finally to the uttermost part of the world. If you'll think of that in the same way that you would think of the bases of a baseball game, I've got to cover base one before I can ever go to base two. And I've got to cover base two before I can ever go to base three. And I've got to cover base three before I can ever go home. And that's the way it is in witnessing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the good news of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Preaching Jesus and preaching no other than Jesus, my friend, there's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of his virgin birth to the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. It's the living of his life, clothed in human flesh upon this earth. It is his ministry of some 3.5 years there in Israel, in around Jerusalem and around Galilee. It is his going to the cross in fulfillment of prophecy, in fulfillment of his destiny, in fulfillment of his purpose in coming to the earth, going to the cross, and there on the cross, taking upon himself the sin of all mankind, past, present, and future, all of it was laid upon his shoulders. And he paid for that sin with his life and with his shed blood upon the cross of Calvary. And when that job was finished, he said upon the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." And then the word tells us that he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit," and he breathed his last, having finished the job that God sent him to the world to do. And that is to go to the cross, to take upon himself the load of sin for all mankind, for all time, and to pay for it all, with his body and with his blood and with his life. That lifeless body was taken down from the cross, placed in the tomb rather hurriedly and hastily. And then on that following Sunday morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the body was resurrected from that grave. And Jesus then came out of that grave and appeared on that Sunday morning to Mary and Martha and the women at the tomb. He appeared that Sunday evening to his disciples gathered together in the upper room. All of them except Thomas was present. He appeared actually that Sunday afternoon to Peter on the road to Emmaus, Peter and another apostle with him who is unnamed. So he appeared three times on that first Sunday of his resurrection. And then we have no record of his appearance until a week later when he appeared again to his disciples, and Thomas was present this time. And this is when he invited Thomas to touch him and to feel him and feel the nail prints in his hand and feel the spear wound in his side and to know that this is the resurrected Christ. He appeared over 40 days, and we read of his final appearance here in Matthew chapter 28 and Acts chapter 1, where He gave us our commandment. He gave us our marching orders, and that is to proclaim Him and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then He ascended to the Father, where He is today, ruling and reigning, seated at the Father's right hand, because as a great high priest, His work of sacrifice is done. It's completed. He has paid sin's debt for all mankind, in order that whosoever may receive the good news of the gospel and receive Jesus Christ may not perish, but have everlasting life. And this, my friend, is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.